April 28th. Yep, it's her birthday. And the 18th, that next week, I think that's our anniversary.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so April's a busy month.
A good month, good month.
What'd you say?
Which one?
You want me to tell them? 27.
She got it right.
She's only asking because she forgot. 27. That means, let me get this right. You've been married 50 years. Just two different guys. We can have a 50th anniversary for you and a 27th for me. It's a record, believe me. Just, we won't go there. Hey, amen. I was in a church. We used to go out and preach on Navajo Reservation south of Gallup. And one guy that was pastoring down there, when it was time for announcements, his number one announcement every time I preached there was, "The Lord's coming back!"
Amen.
That's what comes to mind every time someone says, "Have I forget anything?" That's what we want to yell. The Lord's coming back.
Yeah.
And one of these days, it's going to happen. We're going to get it. It's not an if, it's just a when. I'm glad to be saved. What is this? Day number 9. Amen. I am going to feel so backslid next week. Amen. But I'm going to thank everybody again tomorrow. But thank you for letting us, you know, have part of your lives. And we are definitely the ones that got the blessing or getting the blessing. So, all right.
I just want to say something.
Please do.
About the 50 years. I was married to my first husband for 23 years. And the Lord saw fit to take him home. But the devil told me I would never be happy again. And that when he breathed his last breath, there would never be a rainbow. There would never be any happiness for me again. And I just want to sit here tonight and tell you, he was faithful and he gave me a wonderful husband, and it's just been great.
Yeah.
He's a liar.
From the beginning. Well, are you not done?
I was just saying the devil's a liar. It wasn't true.
Yes, amen.
He did it again. He did it again. That song. Remember that song? He did it again.
Right from the beginning, right? Like we preached last night. He's a liar. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's try this. Hey, by the way, Brad, good job. Proud of you. Are you weary from the battle you're fighting? Does it seem like the storm just won't break? Is there a mountain in front of you that doubt says will never move? And you wonder, will God make a way? Well, tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment he wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. When you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time. So be strong in the Lord and remember to take hold of faith and stand firm. And oh, you can be confident the Lord keeps his promises. If you doubt him, just read through his word. Tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment he wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. When you look back, you're gonna find there was never a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. When you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time.
you're gonna find there was never a time. But the Bible teaches us, and it's proved over and over in our lives, storms are part of life, but it gets us through, and then the next storm comes, and sometimes we just need to be reminded that the same Lord that got you through the last one will get you through the next one. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Got one for you tonight. Okay, yes, some guy from Kansas decides to write a book about churches all over the country. He don't know much. He's writing a book. He goes out, he starts in San Francisco. I told you, he ain't too bright. Not that there aren't some couple churches out there. I got a church in Berkeley. I mean, in the shadow of the most liberal university in the world. And I got the pastor there, graduated from Pensacola Bible Institute, then went to the University of California in Berkeley, graduated there and started a church in the shadow of that place and street preaches in Berkeley.
Good.
And fly me and her out there for a couple long, couple 2 day, all day conference every couple years. So, this guy flies out to California and he's working his way east. He goes into a very large mega church, begins taking pictures, and he spots a golden telephone on the wall. And he's intrigued because there's a sign there which reads $10,000 a minute. And so he found the pastor. He said, "What is that about?" And the pastor answers that that golden telephone is in fact a direct line to heaven. And if he pays the $10,000, he can talk directly to God. He thanked him and went on his way, took note of all that. As he continues and he visits churches all over, working his way back east, and some of those churches had $1,000 on the phone, but they all had the golden telephone. Finally, he gets to Texas. He enters a church in Texas, and there it is, the golden telephone's on the wall. But this time it says 25 cents. See, he's fascinated. Now he talks to the pastor, and he says, "Reverend, I've been in cities all across the country, and in each church I found this golden telephone, and I told it's a direct line from anywhere from $10,000 to $1,000, and I could talk to God. Your sign says 25 cents. Pastor said, "That's easy. You're in Texas now, son. It's a local call." Amen. Amen. All right. Take your Bible. Go to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Amen.
That's a good one.
Hey, thank you, brother. I'm going to tell that one again tomorrow just because you said that. No, but that is good. That is. I've been to churches where it was a local call to talk to God. It didn't even cost a quarter.
Yeah.
And I haven't really been in too many, but I've heard of some. They ain't heard from God. They don't need them. Boy, we need them.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And I'm glad he's not playing hard to get.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
He don't need us, but he loves us.
Amazing.
He proved it too.
Thank you, Lord.
Micah chapter 6, let's look, begin at verse 6. This is the Micah, the prophet. He says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with ten thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul?" Israel is in trouble again. And Micah the prophet, he kind of asked this rhetorically. He's kind of mocking them. What can be done by way of sacrifice? What it is you guys think you can do by way of sacrifice to satisfy the Lord? And again, he's mocking them. Because a sacrifice is a religious way to atone for your misdeeds. Amen. But it's temporary. It's like going to confession on Saturday night so that the next day you can get back to business as usual, which is the sinning business. Amen. And that way you can get it right, theoretically, and sin again and again and get it right and sin again and again. What a way to live.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no indwelling Holy Spirit with that philosophy.
Right.
Amen. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, Samuel told Saul this, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken. That's what we're trying to do here this week. We're trying to hearken. Amen. Not just here, but here so that we can put it in practice. To hearken than the fat of rams. And again, he's talking to a guy that was religious, and this world's religious, and religions have a lot in common. Amen. But God's not interested in you and me doing anything to clear ourselves. What he's interested in, take your Bible, go to Psalm 51. Hold your place in Micah. Hope I didn't. No, but not too late, Miss Wonderful. I'll give you some more time. Okay, on that Cambridge, it's page 1156. I'll help you out there. Amen. Psalm 51 and verse 17 says this: the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God don't want you to do anything. God wants you to repent. Amen. Flesh don't. Flesh would rather, okay, what do I got to do? Who do I pay? What do I sacrifice? That's what the flesh wants to do. And God's not interested in that thing. All right, back to Micah chapter 6. Now the prophet said that, now he says this. Verse 8 is where our message will come from. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what God wants from me and you. Father, I do come to you in the name of Jesus Christ once again. Thank you for this good week. Thank you for the blessings that my wife and I have gotten. I pray and trust that there's folks in here that feel the same way. Lord, I pray that you'd be pleased with us all tonight, both sides of this pulpit, as we attempt to minister and to receive from the Holy Spirit what he would see fit to bear witness to. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for Vernie being here and going to get baptized tomorrow, and perhaps someone else needs to get saved and baptized. And Lord, I know that you're more interested in that than we are. Shame on us. Lord, I pray make it easy for anybody in here that does not know, does not have the confidence that we talk about and sing about, that they'll go to heaven when they die. God, if anybody's wondering about that, maybe allow us to open a Bible and show them how you took care of that thing.
Thank you, Lord.
May they take care of it tonight. I love you. Help me to preach. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so it starts out, verse 8 starts out with these words: he hath showed thee, O man. I tell you, there's nothing better than to have God show you something.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're kind of at a place where we rely on the Wizard of Oz to show us stuff. That's what I call Google and Siri, you know, just ask the wizard, you know, I'll tell you what, that pales in a comparison to what God can show you.
Amen.
Amen. If he shows you what's good, and he will, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I like it. I like it when I've gotten some victory over something and God's pleased with that. It says, call unto me all, Jeremiah 33:9, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. I said it last night. I've done that. I've called on him. I've asked him, to help us get through situations that there was no remedy outside of God, and he does without blinking an eye. Without breaking a sweat. Amen. And I like it. And the prophet said he had showed the old man. And I just, like I think I said one night, when you preach this many days in a row, you all over. God even gives us the time of day. What is man that he would show us?
Amen.
Let alone be mindful of us. But then he would even, he's more patient than we are. If he shows you something good, good. Praise the Lord. If he shows you something that's bad, something that's in your life that's not the way it should be, Praise the Lord. Amen. You should be glad He shows it to you so that you can repent of it and correct it. That's what He wants. Amen. 2 Samuel 12:7, and Nathan, the prophet, said to David, "Thou art the man." That is not what David wanted to hear, but I don't think it surprised him any. And David got it right. Praise the Lord. God showed him, sent a man, showed him. You know how He does it here? He'll bear witness to your personal Bible study, but He'll bring a message across this pulpit from His man. Amen. And then, Lord willing, you act on it.
Yeah, amen.
He shows you things, obviously, through the Word of God. You know, the older I get, the more important good lighting is. I'm sure I'm not the only one like that. I was preaching a couple years ago in a church in just outside of Tallahassee, Florida, and about 12 miles from our campground. A big storm is moving through. I mean, it got pretty serious. And we got to the church, and the wind's blowing, and the lightning, and everything, and it hadn't started raining yet, and we weren't in very long, and it started raining. You could hear it. We were all glad we're in the church. They did the announcements. They did the congregational singing. There was some special music, and then there was some very special, you know, me and her, and I think. And then I get in the pulpit, and I give the passage to turn to, and the lights went out. There was a huge explosion, little town, and a transformer got hit by lightning. And the lights went out. Now, we didn't know it at that moment, but the lights went out in that whole town. Amen. And you can hear the gasp, you know, and I'm in the pulpit. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what, I never missed a verse. I never missed a beat and prayed for 45 minutes. See, the older I get, the more important lighting is, and I carry a flashlight. This is my Sunday go-to-meeting. This is my church flashlight. The one I wear in my jeans is a little bigger. Amen. I got pocket knives and flashlights for everything. I used to have pistols for everything, but that we don't do that anymore. But I preached that whole message with a flashlight. And I gave the invitation, and as soon as I gave the invitation, the lights came back on. It was like, I mean, like somehow we orchestrated that. We did not. There were people on their way to the altar, amen, in the dark. But when that light came on, I think the other half of the church made their way to the altar. Amen. The older I get, let me say it again, the older I get, the more important good lighting is, but the older I get spiritually, the more important good lighting is. Also, and the Bible says in Psalm 119 in verse 105, thy word. So I don't reach for my flashlight. Amen. When something needs to have the light shined on it, this is the light right here. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And God will show you things through the word of God. Things illuminate on the pages of this book that I've read 100 times. And that's just amazing how God does that. Amen. But He'll reveal things as you're ready. My wife, I said it one day. My wife said, "Oh, look what I found." And I'm going, "That's been in there the whole time, you know." But jumped off the page that day. Has that ever happened to you like that? Or you just picked that up and you got your little Bible schedule and you got to read 9 chapters and say, "Got that done, got that done." But does it get real? You know, it's important to go through your Bible. It is. I'm all for that. You know, it's more important. It's more important that your Bible goes through you.
Oh, amen.
Amen. And God will show you things through the Word of God. God will show you things through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? How many have ever, you're faithful in church. I know what you believe. I know what you're fed. Amen. I've listened to the open meeting. These aren't the only guys that study their Bible. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. And how many of you ever been in a position where maybe out and about, whether it's work or school, and you got an opportunity and a verse comes to your mind and you've thought to yourself afterwards, "Well, I didn't even realize I knew that verse. I didn't even realize I had it wasn't one you ever put on a little index card and made a point to remember." You know what I'm saying is, it says this in in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And God will show you things through the Holy Spirit of God if you submit yourself to the Word of God, however you get it, preaching, teaching, studying it. Amen. You might not have it at the tip of your, at your fingertips in a scenario when you're not in church and you don't have your Bible. But isn't it amazing? Has it ever happened to you?
Yeah.
It happens to me all the time. And a verse will come to mind I didn't even know I knew. Amen. That's God showing us things. We got a personal. This is personal. It's not just a personal salvation, and indeed it is. But it's a personal relationship from the day you become his child to the day you go to heaven. Are we still his children then? This is a permanent personal relationship. I never thought about that. So he shows you things. He said he had showed thee, oh man, and I'm glad God shows me when I'm doing okay. It's an encouragement because the devil won't encourage you.
Right.
And I'm glad God will reveal himself to me and show me when I'm not doing okay, when some attitude or some temptation comes my way. Listen, I've been at this a little while, and I had a lot of ground to make up and a lot of things to get victory over. And categorically, God has given me great victory. And the longer I'm at this, the more I find out that I'm not arrived yet either. Now, the sins aren't, you know, as blatant and outward, but they're things of the heart and things of the mind. And I'm glad God deals with us. Amen. I'm glad for our relationship with the Word of God. I'm glad God shows us things through the Spirit. God will show you things through your preachers.
That's right.
And that's why he set it up this way.
Amen.
First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am, as I also am of Christ." Now, we're not following men. We're following men that follow Christ.
Amen.
I'd say this. I might get confused, but if you're a preacher, and you have several here, amen, but if your preachers are following Christ,
yeah,
it just might be a good idea to heed what they say.
Yeah,
God will show you things. Amen. That's why I say, duh. But what's obvious to some doesn't seem to be obvious. That's proven by empty pews, by people that got offended and they shouldn't have.
Amen.
We're not here to hurt anybody. We're not trying to build anything. I don't know any preachers in our crowd that are in this for the money. Amen. And so the point is to help, but still people, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So when you get crossways over nothing, you've revealed something about yourself. Amen. I don't care how much, you can wave it around and sing, "I love Jesus." And if you get crossways over every little thing, it's your stinking flesh rearing up.
Amen.
And you need to put that thing down, because it'll take control. It'll lead you right out. And I don't just mean out of this church. It'll lead you right out of the will of God.
Amen,
amen. Amen. That's good. I'll amen myself. I like that. And that's not all. God will show you things through the people of God.
Right. Amen.
We were discussing this verse earlier today. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works.
Yeah.
Amen. And I learned that early on, and I gave the example today at lunch, amen, about different ways that God, and I thought my life was about brotherhood. I dedicated my life to the principle of brotherhood, and it was a phony, it was a counterfeit that the devil came up with, but the real brotherhood is this: it's the body of Christ. And no, we're not perfect because of this thing. But I'll say this without hesitation. God, people are the best people I ever ran with, and I run into some pretty serious crowds in my life. Amen. Nothing has held my attention this long. Amen. And I want to finish, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you need to take advantage of being around the people of God. Amen. Never underestimate the importance of iron sharpeneth iron. And the reason that verse, I like that verse, Because I tell you what's going on in a whole lot of churches in America. Plastic. Styrofoam. Phony. Fake. And that don't sharpen nothing. But if you rub two pieces of plastic together long enough while you're singing Kumbaya, it will get warm and fuzzy feeling. To which I say, this is where my wife says, Brother Dave, I think you had too much liberty tonight. Amen. Hey, listen, he had showed the old man. When's the last time God showed you something?
Amen.
You can do this, get saved, and get at this. But I'm trying to get you to see that it's a miracle that God would reveal himself like he does, and he wants to.
Yeah, that's right.
And I guess the miracle we respond. But that's what he thinks. Wow, the angels, can you imagine what the angels think when God just gives us so much more than the time of day? Look at these people, what's the deal? They don't say it. Amen. Like some Christians, they don't say what's on their mind. Like he don't know. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Help me out, Trevor. Heart. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is like a Christian game show around here. I like it. And you know what the best part about it is? We all win.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Amen.
Hey, you saved back there, Vernie?
Amen.
You're on the winning side, brother. It says that he hath showed the old man what is good. God likes good. He did, and he'll show you what's good. It says in Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You want to please God? Matthew chapter 3, the verse finishes with God saying from heaven, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.
Right.
Amen. And then, I can't remember the address, but there's a verse that's also in Matthew, the parable of the well done, thou good and faithful servant. We say it all the time. I want to hear that. I like to hear that. I came in late, amen, into the body of Christ, into the family of God, but I want to be faithful. I can finish. The Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And I want to finish right, and I'd like to think that it's possible that it could have been said of Dave Spurgeon, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
I mean, and I wouldn't reach for it. It ain't out of pride, but it looks like it's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to hear that?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that, and then I read over in Hebrews 13, and it says that it's possible for God to be well pleased with you and I.
Wow.
And that's next level, if you ask me, because again, my mind goes back to Matthew 3, and that's what he said about Jesus.
Wow.
Man, I'll tell you what, that blows my mind. Amen. God will show you what is good. Amen. Here's the problem. You won't every time. Sometimes the flesh wins. We can go over Galatians 5 and acknowledge the battle. What I don't like to acknowledge is sometimes he doesn't just lust against the Spirit. Sometimes he wins. Amen. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, the greatest Christian on the planet...
Yep.
And he acknowledges in Romans chapter 7, the battle with his flesh. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Does anybody else resemble that remark?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Proverbs 24 says, thank God it's in there in verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. So what are you doing? You mess up. You get down. You get it right. You confess it. You repent. You ask God to help. You get back up.
Amen.
And you get back in the fight. Many times as it takes. Seven times I was under the law. We're under grace. I guess you can, there's no number how many times you can get back up. I hope not.
Amen.
So I say, you know, rise it up again and get back in the fight. And you might say this. Well, that sounds good, but how do you do it? And I got thinking about that, and it's easier than you think.
Yes.
You know how you rise up again? When you messed up, when you're taking Well, when you messed up, you know how you get it right? Not, I'm not a fan of modern lingo, verbiage. I don't even know the word I'm trying to say. I had a guy in youth camp, a kid, say one time, I corrected a preacher's kid, and he said, "Oh, my bad." And I'm waiting for the rest of the sentence. I'm waiting, you know, that was the whole sentence. I'm not even trying to stay up to speed on some of this language that you guys are getting on television all the time. How did I get that in there? Isn't that good? You see how I did that? Amen. The only reason I know that is because I flew out to LA one time and they had a little screen going. I go, oh, that's where that came from. That's why Christians are talking like that, because they're spending more time. You did get it, did you? What I'm trying to say. Good. I'm going to move on.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to, though, but I guess I will. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, there is an expression that I've heard, and I do like it. It goes like this. Own it.
Amen.
That's Bible. Amen. Just that fall seven times. How do I get up again? You get on your face, and you take the blame. That's how you get saved. You have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Why is it so hard for us to admit that it's our fault? We live in a time where, I'm not talking, this ain't a commentary on other Christians, and it's not a commentary on society. I'm with our crowd. All the time, week in and week out, all across the country. And we've come to a place where it's so easy, even if we begin to admit we're wrong, we've got somebody to blame, we've got a circumstance, yeah, but! And so I'll tell you what, you want to get your fellowship restored with God, you say, it was me!
Amen.
Standing in the need of prayer. David said, for I acknowledge my sin. And that's how he got that thing straightened out. Amen. And then he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And so if you're saved here tonight, and I ask that question a lot. I get introduced to the basketball coach. Nice guy. Legacy Christian shirt on. I said, oh man, hi. I'm glad I forgot his name. I'm glad you're here. And are you saved? And you know, he probably acted more like a Christian than some people I met. I almost said some of you, but that wouldn't have been my. But I'm going to ask. Why would you not ask? Isn't that, if somebody asked me if I was saved, that wouldn't bother me.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
It ain't because of the way we look.
Right.
Amen. It's big deal. It's personal.
Yeah.
Amen. We've been asking it. I ask it all the time. I ask people. I'm not shy. Amen. Not about something like that. I'd rather run the risk of offending somebody now than see him kicked off into a lake of fire later.
Right, amen. You're right.
Amen. And truth of the matter is, you know, it's your flesh that got you held in your back. Because
right.
It's not really that big a deal.
Amen.
People say, well, I'm good. Well, no, they're not, but it's still worth it to ask. Anyway, here's what I'm saying. It says this in James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Do you know to do good?
Right.
Three of you?
Right. Amen.
I know, it gets tense, like right now, right? Because like, ooh. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You, a Christian, you have a responsibility to do good. You know that. I'm going to tell you what, not only should you do good, it's a sin if you don't. And sometimes we don't. So you get it right. I don't know who came up with the expression, keep short accounts, but I understand it. I understand you're not going to lose your salvation. But boy, there's a joy. There's a peace. There's a fellowship that's in danger when you have unconfessed sin in your life. And the reason I know sometimes I talk to people about it, they bow up and get mad. Why would you get mad? Unless you got unconfessed sin in your life.
Right.
Yeah, that's been my experience. Amen. So he said, he hath showed thee. Oh man, what a thing. Isn't that something? And we're not worshiping a statue or a mountain or something that we can't even communicate with. He sees you and he'll show him to you. He'll show you, oh man, what is good. And then the verse goes on and says, what the Lord doth require of thee. It says this in Luke 12 and 48, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." Listen, if you're saved here tonight, you've been given much. And there's a long list. So I'm not going to go down the list. Let's just cut to the chase. Eternal life versus eternal death. If you're saved here tonight, you have got eternal life at great expense. It was free to you and me. But like if I give my wife a nice gift, amen, it's free to her, but it costs me. The gift of eternal life cost God. His son. Cost his son his life. Most expensive gift ever given.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You get that? You appreciate that? Or you just think, yeah, I'm entitled. I deserved it. No, you deserved hell.
Amen.
I heard a preacher say one time, you deserve to go to hell with gasoline britches on.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm, trying to, I can't find it like we talked earlier, but I get it. Amen. So, if unto whomsoever much is given, that certainly is you and I, right? And believers saved by grace, and of him shall much be required. And it seemed to me like he's got the right, every right, to require some things of us. As a matter of fact, it says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price."
Amen.
Yeah, and according to Acts 20, verse 28, the price was the blood of God. Amen. That's what it says.
Amen.
Amen. "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit." That sums it up. "Which are God's." Your body is God's. Your spirit is God's. If you're God's. So in spite of knowing that, I know that. Amen. I'm with Christians all the time, and we know that. We got a Bible. We don't just read it and say, yes, it says right there. We get it. We grasp it. We understand it. We're in his debt.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
And still, there's a nature inside every one of us that just does not want to be told what to do.
That's right.
Amen. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I heard a guy say, "I'm Irish, I'm proud, and I'm stubborn." And I said, "That double jeopardy, pal. You're, that's of the devil." Amen. God's got a right to require some things of us. We agree on that?
Yes,
I can do it again. I mean, so it said in verse 8, "Then he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee?" How many, went to public school? Okay, so some of you that are, I don't know what age, but I'm 72. And so when I was a kid in elementary school, we had show and tell. How many remember show and tell? Probably which is. So show and tell went something like this. And I'm reaching way back, and don't come and correct me later if I forgot something. But the teacher in the elementary school would announce, okay, for example, Friday, we're going to have show and tell. And the subject this Friday is going to be something that represents your faith. Something that public school, you could get anything. And so be prepared. Be prepared on Friday for show and tell. And the kids are all excited. 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds. They're excited. So Friday comes along. And so they're going to have show and tell. And the first person, a little girl, she gets up and she walks up in front of the class. And she says, "My name is Mary, and I'm a Catholic." And she holds up a rosary. This is a rosary. This is a symbol of our faith. This is a something. And so Mary got to go sit down. And the next, a little boy came up. And the little boy says, my name is Benjamin, and I'm Jewish. And he brought a little menorah, and he held it up, and he showed the menorah. And that was a symbol of his faith. Then he went and sat down. The next little boy got up. His name was Johnny. Johnny gets up and says, "My name's Johnny, and I'm a Baptist. This is a casserole." My wife said that might be a little iffy here, but I don't know. I think you got it, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we known for? I mean, you know, them. What are them Baptists known for? You know, eating a lot. Amen. So, yeah, show and tell. So this is like show and tell. That's what came to mind. So that's where I live, you know, nine-year-olds. Amen. He shows you some things, and then he tells you what it's for. And that's what he's done here. He showed us. Showed us what is good. And now what the Lord doth require thee. And the verse finishes with these words. To do justly.
Amen.
And to love mercy.
Amen.
And to walk humbly.
Amen.
That's what God requires. Amen.
Amen.
So to do justly. Just means fair. God requires that child of God be fair. In every way. Fair means without regard to preference or partiality. Amen. Proverbs 24:23 says, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons.
Amen.
In judgment.
Amen.
Now that's for our level.
Yes.
Now we're really glad that Paul showed us that God is no respecter of persons.
Right.
He'll save anybody. From the uttermost to the guttermost.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And so we're to do justly. And just means fair. And that means every situation. That means like Mondays and Thursdays. Every interaction. God's got a right to require that we do justly. Just means righteous. Amen. And now there's a problem there. Because Isaiah 64:6 says, for we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The only shot you and I have at righteousness, it's like, come boldly before the throne of grace. How can we come? Because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood. But that blood was shed for him, made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Thank you, Lord.
And because God made us righteous because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he has a right to require you and I to do justly. Just means righteous. Just means honest.
That's right.
Amen. Now, there's some fellas over there in Acts chapter 6. I believe it was. And I've heard this referred to as the first deacons. And whether you call it that or not, it's irrelevant. But they needed some help and they needed faithful men. Amen. Spiritual men. And they chose seven men. Amen. And go ahead and go there. Hold your place there, Micah, but go to Acts chapter 6. It's worthy of note. And maybe this is worthy of note. Maybe not, but verse 1 in Acts chapter 6 said, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Well, guess what? Some things never change. Because they're widows. Were neglected in the daily ministration. It looked like the origin of calling out of the deacons had to do with dealing with women. I'm not being critical or that was not a joke. Did you just read that?
Yeah.
All right. Then verse 2. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples. I know women don't like that, but I told my wife one time, I says, you know, you need to have a serious talk with Eve when you get up there. Because it's her fault. All this is her fault. And she don't like that, and you don't like that, and it's not altogether true either, but I like saying it. Then the twelve called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve table. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men, and now look what their qualifications are. Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So there's your qualifications, and that's high ground, and they found seven men. I find it interesting that the number one qualification was honest report. Amen. Honest report.
Amen.
That's a reference, to their personal testimony. You can memorize verses, you can do all the stuff. But at the end of the day, if you're not honest, forthright, you're not qualified.
Right.
How's your personal testimony? I'm not asking if you're saved. I'm not asking if you believe the Bible. I'm not asking if you do all the stuff. Is your personal testimony before God that you're of honest report? And when you do embellish like we're prone to, do you get it right? Are you sensitive to the still small voice of God that says, I wish he'd come in with a battering ram like the feds did, but he doesn't. But that still small voice, it ought to nag and it ought to bother you. But you know what we do? We crank up the volume of our activity so we don't hear it. And then we do it again and it gets worse and it's worse. And the next thing you know, the preacher's preaching, Holy Spirit sitting there next to you on the pew and you ain't hearing nothing.
Amen.
Because there's something in the way. Amen. That ought not be acceptable.
Amen.
Amen. If you're going to do anything for God, I don't care how talented you are, how gifted you are, how smart you are. If you're ever going to do anything for God, you've got to be of honest report. The first thing God requires is to do justly. And that means fair, and that means righteous, and that means just. And then it says to love mercy. How many love mercy?
Amen.
Who wouldn't raise their hand?
Amen.
Luke chapter 16. It says in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The first message, gospel message I ever heard preached was in a jail, library in a county jail, and that preacher had the guts to come in and preach on Luke 16. And he preached about hell. And he says there that that guy cried out for mercy. Too late. Right after his last breath. I'm glad I cried out before my last breath. He didn't get mercy. But I did.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you?
Amen.
Did you? And I don't doubt you, but if you did.
Amen.
Well, then the Lord requires some things. He requires that you love mercy. And we think about that. You're, I love mercy. I love getting it. Thank you, God. I got mercy. Thank God. There's a big difference between wanting mercy and loving mercy. And I'll show you that in Matthew 18. Go there. Matthew chapter 18. Man, was in there the other day. Okay, here it is. Matthew chapter 18, look at me in verse 23. The Lord speaking, he said, therefore is the kingdom of God, of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. That sounds familiar. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. I tell you, somebody in here might be able to do a better job than I did, but I tried to figure out what that's equivalent of. And it's millions and millions and millions of dollars. Amen. Last figure I had was $326 million. By weight, by the talent, that day and age. Does that sound like, it bothers me to say that if it's not even close. But it's a lot. Amen. This guy owed. Amen. This is another class. I'll never owe anybody that much. Amen. And then verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He didn't put him on a payment plan. He set him free. He forgave it.
Wow.
That sound familiar?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. All right. Amen. Verse 28. So he loosed him. Turned him loose. Forgave millions and millions. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. So I tried to figure that out. And here's what I come up with. Let me see. 100 pence in Bible times is about, by today's standards, would be about $16,000. That sound about right? Are you doing it on your phone as I preached? Let me know before I lie in the next church. But the comparison is inescapable. 326 million to 16,000. That guy was forgiven much, but he couldn't forgive little. He liked getting mercy, but he didn't love mercy. And here's how you know, because he didn't show mercy. That came back to bite him a couple verses later. Verse 34, and his Lord was wroth, the original, the Lord that forgave him, found out about it, whistleblower, you know, and delivered him to his tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You can't find scriptural grounds to hold a grudge. Your flesh wants to, mine does. Amen. But be kind one to another, forgiving one another. That's New Testament. That's doctrinal. But in case you're not, you know, just gonna, in case you're tempted to say, yeah, but, because that's what we do. The verse finishes with this. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Yeah, amen.
Nobody's ever done you close to as wrong as your sin did to Jesus Christ. I mean, does that help you get it in perspective?
Yeah, I
get it. Flesh don't want to hear that, but we're not here to feed the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Tell you what, if you can't get over something, it's because you've forgotten what your sin did for to Jesus Christ and what God did anyway in forgiving you. It says we're to love mercy. Amen. And it's real easy, but we love getting it. But to love mercy, the Lord requires, child of God, that you show it, that you love mercy. And it goes on and says to walk humbly with thy God. It's not a long, big list. It's just three things. To walk humbly with thy God. In Genesis chapter 5, in verse 22 and verse 24, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. And then in chapter 6, in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Just like his great-grandpa Enoch did. That guy had a godly heritage. Like some of you do. Amen. And as far as I can see, those are the only two men where the Bible says they walked with God. Amen. In those words. Verse 10, Genesis 6 says, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 11, and it says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That's not a CNN headline. That's an AV-1611 headline. The earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Amen. And I look at that thing, and if Noah could walk with God in spite of the earth being corrupt and filled with violence, if Noah could raise kids in spite of the wickedness of the heart of man being great, doesn't seem unreasonable for the Lord to expect you and I to do it in this day and age, in this present world.
Amen. Amen.
We're to walk with God. It doesn't matter what's out there. It doesn't matter. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we let it matter. Sometimes we go by situational ethics rather than we do the Bible.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And he says he wants you to walk with him humbly.
Amen.
Now the antithesis of humble is prideful, haughty, a new word, narcissistic. I don't like that word. It sounds like sissy is in there somewhere. Amen. But I tell you what, there's no shortage of narcissists. And I'm intentionally trying to say it right. I couldn't spell it. My wife could. Amen. But that means you think you're the center of the universe? No way. The problem with man, he said to walk humbly. The problem with man is when God does show him something, God shows you and I something. There is a tendency, at least a temptation, to think we're somehow superior to other people that he didn't show it to. That's how we are. We do it this way and they do it that way and we're better because we do it this way. That's just part of our nature. And let me remind you of something. All Christians aren't at the same place with God any more than your kids are all at the same place from a 2 to 5 to, you follow me?
Yeah.
We need to have some grace, man.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah. And the danger, we may have an edge because of what God showed us. But if that nurtures pride, talk about 1 step forward and 2 steps back.
Amen.
He requires us to walk humbly with God. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Don't you know? But a faithful man, who can find? Faithful, what does that mean? Faithful to walk humbly with God, perhaps. Amen? Listen, God will show you some things, and then he'll tell you what to do with them. But every time, the choice is yours. He gives us the ability to make a choice. Amen. You got to make the right choice. I'll finish with this. That rich man I referred to. Well, there's another rich man in the book of Luke in chapter 12. And he said there, but God said unto him, thou fool. He was rich and I'll build bigger barns. And he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And he said, and whose will these things be? Nobody ever towed no U-Haul to a cemetery.
Right.
Ain't nothing in this life going with you, whether you go up or down. But one day our soul is going to be required of us. Amen. One day payment for sin is required. If you're in here and you're saved, Jesus paid it.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
If you're in here and you're not, you're going to pay it. You die before you get saved. I'm telling you, you can still take care of it.
Amen.
But you better take care of it. Because you die without the forgiveness, without the salvation that we talk about, you'll pay your own sin debt, and it will require your eternal soul. And on that day, it's not going to matter how much you accomplished or how much you accumulated. The only thing that's going to matter when you draw your last breath is what you did with Jesus Christ. I've done a lot of things wrong in my life, and you know, because God's let me live this long, I've probably done a couple things right. Amen. But I tell you what, one day I did something so right that in God's economy, it took over. It took precedent over all the bad things.
Amen.
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 Are you saved tonight?
Yes.
Did you get the message? God's good.
Amen.
God cares about us. God talks to us. He shows us things. Multitude of ways. Amen. Because he's interested in us.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. But then again, he's got the right to require some things, and he won't force you. But he'll try to make it reasonable for you to see. And it's pretty easy to see. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand.